Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And the gospel reading that we have this morning is in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. It's on page 994, and it's the well-known story, and it's the one we're going to look at in a moment, of the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. Again, says Jesus, and he says again because he's already spent the previous chapter giving a couple of illustrations of what the future is going to be. Here's another one, another parable. Again, says he, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who'd received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who'd received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered the seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown, and gather where I've not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that at least when I returned, I'd receive it back with interest. Take the talent from him, and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do sit down. Our vicar's on a bit of a high this morning, isn't he? I don't know what it was that he had for breakfast, but whatever it was, I think we ought to all join in. Perhaps the big breakfast might be the answer, Simon. And I've got a good excuse for not having a tie on this morning. It's one of the things that the retired accountant does, is it puts a tie on for the 9 o'clock service. I've got a good excuse because I've had a couple of skin mole things, and the time came to say, let's dig them out. So one there was dug out. And it's a bit uncomfortable with a collar and tie. So I'm sure you'll let me off. I knew you would. Now, we're looking at Matthew chapter 25, the passage that I've just read. And it's a passage where Jesus is sitting with his disciples. He's sitting on the Mount of Olives. And he's on his way down to Jerusalem for the last time, this famous last trip. And he's got to the point where he obviously feels that the time has come where he really needs to get to grips with the disciples as to what the future is going to hold. There was a big expectation, of course, amongst the Jews, and one's fairly certain to say, I think amongst the disciples, that when he got down into Jerusalem, there was going to be a great event, and he would be declared king of the Jews, would overthrow the oppressors, all of that sort of thing, and would lead everyone out in triumphant glory. And Jesus is trying gently to say to the disciples, it isn't like that. And so he spends quite a bit of time, chapters 24 and 25, a long chunk of Matthew's gospel is spent as Jesus in story form, the usual way that Jesus spoke, tried to explain to them. So the passage we've got today, he's saying, isn't he? The master goes away. In fact, in Luke's gospel, it's even more explicit. Luke says, a king is going off into another country to claim his crown, to claim his kingdom, and then he'll come back. And it actually says in Luke's gospel that when he went, the people said, good riddance, don't come back again. The Jews at the time of Jesus' crucifixion, it's pretty clear, isn't it? It's pretty clear that Jesus is talking about himself. And so the master we're looking at here is in fact Jesus, who's going off into a far country. He knew he was going to go off up into heaven, wherever with God. And everyone thought it'd be for a few years, but we're now 2,000 years down the line, and he isn't yet back. That's the background to this story then. This master going off, coming back again, and calling people to account. And Jesus was very quick to point out in chapter 24, verse 36, he said, when the return comes, nobody's going to be expecting it. Noah, for instance, verse 27, is the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came. It happened, and Jesus is saying, when this second coming comes, it will just happen. A bit later on in chapter 24, two people in the field, one's taken, one's left. Straight after that, thief in the night. Story after story Jesus told. There wouldn't have been a burglary if the thief had announced his arrival, because the master would stay up and drive him away. But no burglar announces his arrival. And so along comes the burglar, and the burglary takes place because the master's asleep in bed. It happens, says Jesus, suddenly, quite unannounced. And immediately before the passage we're looking at here is the story of the 10 girls waiting for the bridegroom. Do you remember it? Five of them put oil in their lamp and said, we'll be ready. And five said, oh, no, he hasn't been back for long. When he comes, we'll nip out and get some oil for our lamps. And, of course, he came totally unexpectedly. By the time they'd rushed off and got oil for their lamps and came back, the door was shut. It's going to happen at a time nobody expects, says Jesus. And we don't know any sense where, how, or anything else. That's what this is going to be. That's what this is going to be. And quite what the disciples thought in their mind as they were listening to all of these stories, back of their mind hoping the king of the Jews was going to take. I don't know. But Jesus patiently was telling them. And so here we have the master or the king going off on this journey, going up to heaven. Now, what is interesting, yeah, it's this is my producer of PowerPoints. He always hides away at the 9 o'clock service. But he is quite good at it, isn't he? Jesus said, all have valuable talents. We get that in those very first verses in the reading that we had. Jesus is leaving us valuable talents. We are stewards of those talents. Jesus said, as the master goes, he leaves behind things, talents, money, and these were valuable things. We're talking about some hundreds of pounds, 3 months' wages, I read in one commentary. Jesus is leaving value to these servants. It's his goods. We, the servants, are the stewards. We're unique. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 always fascinates me, the parts of the body. The body is not made up of any part, but of many, says Paul to the Corinthians. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not be for that reason. See, it wouldn't for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, etc., etc. Everyone's different. And so many of us, I think, feel that the talent we have is, you know, I don't know, sort of no more than a toenail. It's all right for the vicar to stand here and be confident in what he says and play with the computer and so on, but, you know, what am I? I'm a toenail. Well, it may be. I don't know whether you've tried to walk without a toenail or with an infected toe. Yes, there's nods coming. Every part is valuable, and they all fit together. So each one of us is unique. That's what I love about this passage. We're all different. If we look around, we recognise each other. We don't say, oh, they look the same. There are a few identical twins around. But we're all different, both in our looks and in our abilities. I was fascinated yesterday morning at PCC breakfast, and I was sitting next to Paul Middleton, our church warden. And Paul is working at the moment on an arts weekend as part of the general outreach of the church. I see. They couldn't hear me at the back. And he was enthusiastic at all the things he wanted to do in that weekend. And I sat there and thought, wow, almost every one of them bored me stiff. It's a terrible thing to say. I'm just not interested in painting and architecture, and all the things that Paul is enthused about and is putting into this weekend. Now, I won't be around for that weekend. If it had been a sporting weekend, wow, I would be into it. But do you see what I mean? It's a very simple thing, but we are unique. And Paul's a great guy, and I love talking with him, but we are totally different. And the talents we've got, the arts talents he's got, I was going to say the sporting. I better say the accounting talents that I used to have. We are unique, and we have talents that are given by God to us to use while Jesus, the Master, is away in the far country. He'll be back, and we're waiting. But finally, we're not alone. People tend to say, "Oh, it's all right for you," but I struggle. Look at this verse in John 14. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." And whether you're a toenail, or whether you're a big mouth, or a big arm, what Jesus says is that the Father, God, will give you another counselor. We have with us, whatever our role is, in our unique part of life, we have the Spirit of Truth. All of us have talents. Now, what about the use of those talents? And firstly, I think that the talents we have are ones that we enjoy doing. I don't think God, in the experience I have of myself and seeing others, wants us to be doing things, well, you know, me doing architecture. He doesn't ask for that. What Jesus does is to give us gifts, and gifts we enjoy. And again, we're all different. I can't resist telling the story of the chap who ran our tax department in our office in Nottingham when I was in business. He was a very austere, single guy in his early 60s, I suppose. And I was up there talking with him one day, and I said, "Well, we've got the Tax Act coming out shortly," you know, and grimaced. "Oh, Mr. McCauley," he said, "it's the highlight of my life." "Beg your pardon?" He said, and the budget, of course, is complicated for most of it. That's just the highlights. And then out comes this encyclopedia from the Treasury Office of all the detail of this wretched budget. And he said, The day it comes out, Mr. Macaulay, I leave the office early and I have something to eat, and then I go to bed and I read in bed until I'm too tired, and then I turn the light out and I get up early in the morning, I make a cup of tea and I stay in bed, Mr. Macaulay, and I read more. And then I get up late and I spend the whole day, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe it. He enjoyed the tax act. Well, good for him. Good for him. But all I want to say here is I believe that the gifts that God has given to you, to me, to all of us, are gifts that we enjoy using. And we ought to be looking to use them, not shrinking away from doing so. And again, he promises we won't be overstretched. There's a great verse in Corinthians that's talking more about temptation, but it says you'll never be stretched beyond the ability you have. Again, God gives us gifts and says use them, stretch yourself, but you won't be overstretched. I will protect you from that. Secondly, an example. Fruit on the tree, light on a hill. You're being observed. How often have you heard people say, oh, so-and-so, if that's what the church is all about, count me out. Because somebody has said something or done something and their neighbours have said, that's terrible. If they call themselves a Christian, if they go to St. Paul, you know the thing. We are being observed the whole time. And we need to be aware of that. Bible talks about fruit on a tree. There's the tree and there's fruit on it. There's blossom and fruit. Everyone sees it. There's a city on a hill, said Jesus. Darkness comes, on go the lights. You can't say, city on a hill? Where? I can't. It's there. Don't be a fool. Anyone can see it. And we are being observed day by day in all the things that we do. And we need to be alert in the use of our talents, that we are being watched. And therefore, we need to be using positively all these different gifts that God has given to us. We need to be consistent in them. We need to be consistent. There's a great danger that we are erratic. And the gifts that we have need to be consistently used so that people outside are going to see the same story coming from us, and not this inconsistent thing. Here's one of my favourite verses. I've quoted this many times, I'm sure, at 9 o'clock. I do it every time I preach. Paul says, and just think of these words, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Could you say that? Scares the living daylights out of me. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Consistency in our Christian life. And then, thirdly, I put here not just mouth but money. It's the use of gifts we're talking about. I love this one. Can I just read 1 Peter chapter 4? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. That's the reason we've got these talents. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, power forever and ever. I remember a young couple in my youth group many years ago, about to get married, and were desperately anxious that they should serve God as a newly married couple, and said, we, usual thing, we don't have any great gifts, you know, what should we do? And Nick and Jackie were such a lovely couple, and I said to them, and said at their wedding, just look at this verse, offer hospitality to one another. And as I look around here this morning, so many people are so capable, and I know it personally in many cases, of offering hospitality. And you know, it's one of the greatest gifts God gives. It may be that Vickers and Lynn McCauley have got mouths that come up to the front here. It may be we've got people who've got money and they give, and that's great. But where do I fit? I'm the toenail. Well, the toenail may be given to hospitality. It is one of the greatest gifts, I believe, that is around today, to pick people up and say, come and have a cup of tea. Let's do this. Come. Use what is a very, very simple and straightforward gift that God gives to so many. The use of our gifts. And then finally, reward for the faithful. Come the end of time, back comes the master. Yes, it's another of these PowerPoints, isn't it? If you ever want PowerPoints doing, go and see Peter Sanderson. He's got a library of these wonderful things. Reward, he said, oh yeah, here we are. On the return of Jesus, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, who knows? We've got complacent now. It's been 2,000 years, so we think, oh, it's not going to be in my lifetime. Who knows? But a reward for the faithful, commendation of the master, joy at sharing master's happiness. This is what we've just read in Matthew chapter 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. What a reward. Can you picture that? Come the end of time, come the return of the king, and there's you with your toenail talent, but being used, and God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and join in my happiness. What a prospect from using the talent that we have. And it's very clear, isn't it? It's not the number of talents that matters. It's the utilization of those talents. From whom much is given, much is required. If we're a five-talent person, we've got to do a lot for him. If we're a one or a two, much less is expected of us. And in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, we do find there the crown that is waiting. That's the faithful. What about the unfaithful? And I find this very, very difficult. Very difficult. Throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Scripture is very clear, and we need to take this very, very seriously, that there is judgment at the end of time. Again, we can be so complacent. What I see here is very clear. Those who've turned their back on God, as this guy did, one talent, buried it, lazy, idle, did nothing. He walked away from God and pays the price for it. Branches on the tree, the olive tree, and if they're achieving no fruit, done nothing, they get taken off, put on the ground, taken away and burned. But let me finish with this verse, because this is the one that takes away our fear. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. If we are in the hand of God and want to stay in the hand of God, nobody's going to get us out. You may be fearful, so everything's falling apart. Nobody is going to take us out of the hand of God, snatch us out. But if you care to say, I'm disinterested in the hand of God, I'm off, well, you're off. You go, and you pay the price, ultimately, in the day of judgment. But nobody is going to snatch out of that. You can't be pulled away from God by any force. He has us in his hand and won't let us go. But if we care to walk away, we walk away. It's a great story, the parable of the talents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts that you've given to us. And we simply pray this morning that we may use those gifts. Small, hospitality, big, preaching, teaching, lots of money. Lord, whatever the gift is, help us to use them, to double them in your service, and not to be ones who simply are bone idle, bury the talents and watch everybody else working. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.